everyone, and welcome to Hollywood Soup. This is Dizzy D, and thank you for tuning in to Penguin Radio to hear all about entertainment news, celebrity gossip, new movie releases, and popular music. I have a lot of things in store for you today, including my segments called Movie Monday, True or False. Tunes Talk, and The Dirty Deets. So throughout the show, I will be covering who is getting sued, a lot about things, and I hope you are ready because this is a start of an exciting show, and I will now jump into my first segment, Movie Monday. So on Saturday night, I had a girls' night with one of my best friends, and we went to go see the film The Best of Me, which is a movie that is based off of a book written by Nicholas Sparks, and some other Nicholas Sparks books that have been made into movies are The Notebook, A Walk to Remember, Dear John, The Last Song, and Safe Haven. But The Best of Me was directed by Michael Hoffman and stars James Marsden, who you might remember from 27 Dresses. And it also stars Michelle Monaghan, and she was in Eagle Eye. So the plot of the film is pretty much these two characters, Dawson and Amanda, fall in love, and they were high school sweethearts, and in the film, it takes place 20 years later after a mutual friend of theirs dies, and leaves them in his will. But now she is married and is a mother, and he's single, and throughout the movie, there's flashbacks of them while they're falling in love and in high school, and we find out why they broke up and whatnot. But in the beginning of the movie, we see Dawson, and he works on an oil rig, and then the rig explodes, and he's trying to save these two guys, and then the explosion throws him into the water, and he wakes up in the hospital, and the doctor tells him that it's basically a miracle that he is still alive. But Amanda has a husband and a son, and her husband is very involved in his work and doesn't really pay attention to Amanda at all, and her son just graduated from high school, and then they learn that their very close friend Tuck died, and he was a father figure for Dawson, and since Dawson and Amanda were dating, Amanda started to know him well, and Dawson's biological father was super dangerous. He was a criminal. He was just really scary. And so Tuck arranged for the two of them to meet back in their hometown to fulfill his final wishes. And after that, we pretty much see how Dawson was raised by his dad, who, like I said, was an awful killer. And he runs away because his dad abused him all of his life. And he goes into this barn/garage, and he sleeps in this car that was in there. And then we find out that it was Tuck's place. And in the morning, he comes in with a shotgun and holds it to Dawson's head or his body and questions him and stuff. But anyways, that's how Tuck and Dawson got close, because he let him live in his house. And then Dawson and Amanda meet this is how they met. So Dawson was with his cousin and his cousin's girlfriend in a car, and Dawson's cousin's girlfriend was driving, and her car died, and behind them was like three guys in a car with Amanda, and they're honking and just being really rude and yelling at them to go, but her car died. She couldn't do anything. So Dawson and his cousin pushed the car off the side of the road, and while they're pushing it, Amanda goes up to them and helps them push, and she's trying to talk to Dawson, but he's not really saying anything. And then the following day, after all that, Amanda's car wasn't starting, so Dawson went up and helped her fix it, and she was just super witty, and then they ended up falling in love. And then now I wanted to play for you a interview of Nicholas Sparks talking about The Best in Me, and I thought it was really interesting that he was talking about it, and I wanted to share this all with you, so here it is.
I really think The Best in Me came from a period of my life, right? I'm hitting my 40s, and as you hit your 40s, it's a very interesting period to me. It's a period that's really got a lot of choices that you have to make. I always say it's one of the hardest periods. It's when you're in your 20s and 30s, you think that all of your dreams can come true, right? When you're in your 50s, 60s, and 70s, maybe not so much. Maybe you've accepted the fact that they won't. So this 40s is this period where you kind of hit this moment when you say, is this my life? Have I made the right decisions? And of course, The Best of Me sprouted from that. It's a story about a woman and a man, and they fell in love a long time ago, and now here she is. She's 20 years into her marriage to someone else, and she wonders, you know, is this how I want to spend the rest of my life? Is this what I'm meant to do and be? And to me, that's a very universal concept to explore. The Best of Me is the story of two people. It's about Dawson and Amanda, and they were high school sweethearts. They were deeply in love. Unfortunately, it didn't work out so long ago. They go their separate ways, and 20 years later, there's a funeral, essentially, a funeral of an old friend, and they reunite for a short period of time in this town where they'd first fallen in love. And I hate to say more than that, because you know, you want to watch the film. You want to see what happens. What's the detail? But if you were deeply in love and you meet someone again, you realize that the feelings are still there, you might be able to imagine what happens. Dawson is an interesting character. One of the more favorite characters I've created. He's a good, strong, silent type. He's your guy's guy, right? He works on an oil rig. And that's what he does, you know, and he, the opening of the film is very exciting. There's an explosion on one of these deep sea rigs, and he finds himself thrown off the rig, and we don't know how he survives. He should be dead, and, you know, he gets out of the hospital, and sure enough, there's a phone call saying, you know, one of these people who meant so much to you in your life early on, really your mentor, has passed away, and you know, you've been requested to come to the funeral. And so he heads back to town. But this is a guy who had a very hard upbringing, right? He had a very tough family life. And he found, I guess, a reason to move forward and be everything he could be because of this girl he met in high school who he deeply loved. But fate wouldn't let them be together. Amanda is from a very typical home, you know, a wealthier family, and here she is 20 years later, and she's married, and she's got, you know, a son, and it seems like a wonderful life. They have a beautiful house, and yet she's not entirely satisfied that she's happy, right? I think that that's a very ordinary experience. She's not necessarily horribly unhappy, but she's not necessarily happy either. And of course, she gets this notice to attend a funeral of a dear friend in the town where she grew up, and she goes back, and she comes across, and she sees again the guy she used to love, right? And it's interesting because she's got this life, it's set up. From the outside, it probably looks perfect. The neighbors would say, oh, that looks like the perfect family. And yet there's something in there inside her that's saying, you know, this isn't necessarily enough. I don't know that this is my life for the rest of my years on this planet. One of the things that Michael's really known for is just his ability to work with actors and to get them to dig deeper and deeper, to rehearse and to try new things, and then let's put it on camera and, oh, let's go a little deeper and deeper until every scene literally brings to life a myriad of emotions, all this complexity. And you can see that in his previous work, you know, like The Last Station, and of course you see it in virtually every scene in this film. This is a film that I think audiences will connect with on any number of levels. First, it's a great love story. It's got young love and exciting love, and that's, of course, wonderful. But it's also a story about second chances. It's a story about the choices we make. It's a story about who we are and who we want to be. And it's a story about the past and how it stays with us always. And of course, these are elements that are in everyone's life. And so the key to make a film like The Best of Me is to take these very universal themes that everyone experiences and to put them in a story that brings them all to life.
So I wanted to play that interview for you all today just because I thought it was really interesting to see hear his point of view, Nicholas Sparks, because he wrote the book, and I thought that was super interesting. But I honestly was so excited for this movie to come out. Nicholas Sparks is one of my favorite authors, and there was just no question I had to go see this movie. But I was so disappointed. I think, I don't know, just the ending just really pissed me off. There's a couple of twists that I wasn't expecting at all, but I just thought, I didn't want the ending to happen. I didn't want that ending to happen. Obviously, that's probably how the book ended, but I was just really mad that that's the way the movie ended. But, I mean, I'll just leave you with this. My friend that I went to go see the movie with, she said, it's not a Nicholas Sparks movie unless someone dies. So I'll just leave you with that. But I mean, I thought, like Nicholas Sparks said, he said that Michael Hoffman really has these actors dig deep into their emotions. And I completely agree. I think that this movie is relatable to anyone, and I'll probably go see it again. I don't know. It wasn't my favorite Nicholas Sparks movie, and I actually thought it was pretty interesting. Business Insider released an article saying that The Best of Me had the worst opening of any Nicholas Sparks movie, having an opening weekend of $10.2 million, comparing to Dear John, that was the highest earning, and that was released in 2010, that had an opening weekend of $30.5 million and a worldwide grossing of $115 million. So I thought it would be kind of interesting, since I am such a huge fan of Nicholas Sparks movies/films. They had a list of the Business Insider of 9 Nicholas Sparks movies and their earnings, and there was only 2 that I haven't seen out of those 9, and those were Message in a Bottle and Nights in Rodante. I think that's how you pronounce it. But I decided to rank the movies from my least favorite to my number 1 favorite Nicholas Sparks movie. So I'm going to have to pick number 7 for The Best of Me. It was probably my least favorite Nicholas Sparks movie. I haven't read the book, but I don't know. Maybe it's just because I just seen it and I'm comparing it to other movies, but that was probably my least favorite. At number 6, I'm probably going to have to go with The Lucky One. The Lucky One I've seen only a couple times, and it's just one of those movies that didn't stick with me either. And nevertheless, I love that movie, but I think there was just movies that I liked more. Next, at number 5, I chose Safe Haven, and I thought this movie was so cute, definitely a tearjerker, and I love Julianne Hough is in it, and I think she is super cute, and I really like her a lot. So at number 4, I am going to go with A Walk to Remember. A Walk to Remember is a classic. It is always on TV, and every time it's on TV, I will have to go watch it. Mandy Moore is in it, and I think it is such a cute movie, and I really liked it a lot, but it's going to have to be number 4 for me. And at number 3, I'll probably have to go with Dear John. I loved this movie. I loved it a lot. I mean, like The Best of Me, the ending wasn't what I wanted to happen, but actually, so I went to go see The Best of Me on Friday night. Saturday afternoon, I watched Dear John because I just loved that movie so much. And at number 2, it's going to have to be The Notebook. I'm sorry. I know some people rate that as their number 1 favorite movie by Nicholas Sparks. Maybe their all-time favorite movie, but I don't know, The Notebook, it had such a happy ending and I loved it. And I don't know, I've probably, because I've seen it so many times, it's always on TV like A Walk to Remember. But I had to pick that as my number two. So leaving at number one, I had to choose the last song. And the reason being, you know that I love Miley Cyrus and what's his name? Liam. We're in this movie together, and that's how they met, and they fall in love, and they got engaged, but then they broke up. But I just love this movie, and I don't know. I just love Miley Cyrus. She's my fave, so I had to choose this as my number one favorite Nicholas Sparks movie. So that was Movie Monday, and I hope you enjoyed it. Tune in next week on Penguin Radio to hear what movie I decide to go see, synopsize, and review. So when we come back, I will start my true or false segment. But we'll be back after this short Bosco break. Stay tuned here on Penguin Radio.
Here's another Bosco break. Tristan Correa, the Pennsylvanian 10-year-old who confessed to killing a 90-year-old woman over the weekend, is still in an adult prison, and for now, his family thinks that that could be the best place for him. His attorney withdrew a bail request yesterday, saying that the family just doesn't feel comfortable for numerous reasons, including concern for the family of Helen Novak, whom Tristan allegedly killed with a walking stick, reports WBRE. The lawyer also cited the family's worries over the supervision of work of everything. The district attorney says the boy is not in the general population. He is not in solitary confinement, and he is not in isolation. He is in a cell which I believe is next to the infirmary, where he can come and go from the cell to the infirmary. The nearest juvenile detention facility is 80 miles away. The boy has been provided with coloring books and other forms of entertainment, and while he understands where he is, he's acting like a normal 10-year-old boy and talks about his prison outfit being a Halloween costume, says his lawyer. Tristan has been charged as an adult with homicide, but his lawyer plans to have the case transferred to juvenile court, a move the chief counsel of the Juvenile Law Center in Philadelphia tells the AP is a no-brainer. The fifth grader is a little boy, she says. It's a horrible tragedy, but it's shocking that he suddenly turned into an adult because of conduct that he engaged in. She says he is among the youngest people ever charged with homicide in Pennsylvania. The youngest on record was 9 years old. Related story. Stephen Pratt, the man accused of beating his mother to death less than 2 days after being released from prison for another murder, admitted to the crime at his arraignment in New Jersey. The 45-year-old wept, and despite the judge advising him not to speak without an attorney present, he said, "I don't want a trial. I'm guilty. I have failed. I have no lawyer. I have nobody." When his bail was set at $1 million, he said it doesn't matter, the Philadelphia Daily News reports. Pratt's uncle, the brother of Pratt's mother, said Gwendolyn Pratt was excited when her son was released Friday and took him to IHOP after picking him up at Bayside State Prison. She also threw him a welcome home party at her house in Atlantic City that night, but on Sunday morning, police were called to the house to find the 64-year-old dead. Pratt had served 30 years for shooting and killing a neighbor in 1984. The Press of Atlantic City notes that a few months ago, Pratt reportedly passed on an offer to go to a halfway house where he could ready himself for his release. Now, if you ask me, that's some craziness. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu, and that's the end of your Bosco break.
Welcome back to radio.dominican.edu. You are still listening to Hollywood Soup with Dizzy D. Now I'm going to move on to my next segment, True or False. I will be sharing some facts, some are true, and some are false. So here we go. Did Brad Pitt get his first gun when he was in kindergarten? This is true. Brad Pitt was 6 years old when he was given his grandfather's shotgun. And at the age of 8, he got his first handgun. Huh, pretty interesting. But moving on, did Jennifer Lawrence learned how to skin squirrels while filming The Hunger Games? This is false. She actually learned how to skin squirrels for her role in the 2010 film Winter's Bone. Jennifer Lawrence stated, "I should say it wasn't real for PETA, but screw PETA." After that, PETA released a statement saying, "She's young, and the plight of animals somehow hasn't yet touched her heart. When people kill animals, it is the animals who are screwed, not PETA. And one day I hope she will try to make up for any pain she might cause any animal who did nothing but try to eke out a humble existence in nature." So that's pretty interesting. I didn't know that Jennifer Lawrence could do that, but I mean, her and PETA kind of have a feud, but I love Jennifer Lawrence, but I mean, there's a little tension between her and PETA. But anyways, moving on, speaking of The Notebook and Nicholas Sparks movies, does The Notebook actor Ryan Gosling have his own indie rock band? This is very true. His band is called Dead Man's Bones, and it is a rock duo, and it is composed of him and Zach Shields, and Ryan Gosling sings, plays piano, guitar, and bass, while Zach Shields sings, plays the drums, as well as the guitar, and their first album was released in 2009. I don't think they've had an album since then, and I don't know if they're still working on their music, but I thought that was pretty interesting. Ryan Gosling is actually in a rock band and an actor. Super cool. But speaking of Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone, his co-star in Crazy Stupid Love, did she have to persuade her parents to allow her to start acting? This is true. Born in Scottsdale, Arizona, Emma Stone focused on school, but while she was in middle school, she started homeschooling, and she started theater and did productions such as Alice in Wonderland and The Princess and the Pea. And when she went to high school, she started off at an all-girl Catholic school until she gave her parents a PowerPoint presentation in hopes of moving to California and to start her acting career. And when she was 15 years old, her and her mother moved to LA, and she began homeschooling again. So maybe if she never did that PowerPoint for her parents, she would have never been a successful actress. That we will never know. But moving on to my next question, is Jack Nicholson's sister his mother? This is very true. When Jack Nicholson was 37 years old, he found out that the person he thought was his sister was in fact his mother. After Jack's mother, June, got pregnant at the age of 17, her parents offered to bring up the child, Jack, as their own so his mom could pursue a career in dancing. And then later he found out that his sister he thought was his sister was actually his mother, and his parents were actually his grandparents. So that confused me when I first read that, so I hope you are not confused, but that's how it all went down. So, moving on to my next question. Was Twilight star Taylor Lautner a wrestling champion? This is false, but Taylor Lautner actually won several junior world karate championships. Taylor Lautner took up martial arts and was ranked number one by the American Sports Karate Association and earned his black belt at the age of 8. It was stated in Men's Health that he still practices karate regularly. And I've heard that before. I don't know if you have heard it before, but I thought that was pretty interesting. Maybe he'll do a Jackie Chan movie or something like that. But we'll see. Stay tuned. Anyways, moving on to my next question. Is Nicole Kidman scared of butterflies? This is actually true. This Oscar winner is terrified of butterflies and stated, "It's so bizarre. I'm not afraid of snakes or spiders, but I'm scared of butterflies." Which I thought was a little interesting because I think butterflies are so pretty. People get tattoos of butterflies, and they're supposed to bring you good luck when they cross your path, I think. So that's kind of interesting that she's scared of them. I don't know. Just me. But anyways, my next question is, was Katy Perry on the top 10 Billboard Hot 100 for an entire year? This is so true. Being the only artist to do so in over 50 years, Katy Perry broke the record in 2011. Katy Perry is the only artist in Billboard history to have a song on the top 10 list of the Billboard Hot 100. The hit songs that continued the streak for her included California Girls, Teenage Dream, Firework, and E.T. So I thought that was kind of interesting. All of those songs were super popular, and that doesn't surprise me at all because she has so many hit songs. But for my last question of the day, was Mila Kunis born in the Ukraine? This is true. This That 70s Show star was born in, I'm going to butcher this place, but Chernivtsi, Ukraine? I don't know if that was even close. Anyways, when she was 7 years old, her family moved to the United States because her parents saw no future for Mila Kunis and her brother in Ukraine. And with only $250 in their pockets, they arrived to Los Angeles. And 2 days later, they were already going to school without knowing a word of English. But shortly after that, at 9 years old, Mila Kunis began her acting career. So that's that. She doesn't even sound like she has an accent, but I think she's perfect. I love Mila Kunis. But anyways, those are all my true or false stories I have for this week. After this short break, I will be moving into my third segment, Tunes Talk. So I'm going to leave you with a song, I'm Not the Only One by Sam Smith. Stay tuned here on Penguin Radio. Welcome back to Hollywood Soup on radio.dominican.edu. This is Izzy D, and now I'm going to be jumping into my third segment, Tunes Talk. You just heard the song, I'm Not the Only One, by Sam Smith. And every week I look on the music's charts just to help me choose what song I'm going to be talking about for the week, just to keep myself updated. But this week I saw a song that I've never seen or heard before on the charts, and it was I'm Not the Only One by Sam Smith. And if you have not heard of Sam Smith, he is an English singer and songwriter who was born in London, and he is only 22 years old. I did not know that, but he is 22 years old. And the first time I have heard of him was from the song Latch, which he is featured on that song that is released. It was released last year by Disclosure. Really good song if you've never heard of it. Check it out. Latch by Disclosure. And Sam Smith's musical influences are Amy Winehouse, Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, and Beyonce, just to name a few. And he was nominated for Artist to Watch at the MTV Music Video Awards last year. And I have no idea why, but he didn't win, and I was really mad. But he performed his song Stay With Me that night, which was beautiful. It's a beautiful song, and I love that song so much. And I just can't believe he didn't win that award, because I don't know. I think Fifth Harmony won that award, and I don't know. I like Sam Smith better. But anyways, getting into this song, whoa, it is so cray. It was released on July 2nd, 2014, but like I said, I haven't heard it until recently, and it's crazy to me that a guy this young has so much emotion in his songs. Just what the song about alone is just an overload of emotion. It's R&B and soulful, but poppy at the same time, and right off the bat, the first verse totally sets the tone of the entire song and what it is about. The words are, you and me, we made a vow, for better or for worse. I can't believe you let me down, but the proof's in the way it hurts. And obviously the song is about a married couple, and the lyrics are pretty self-explanatory. One way or another, someone hurt the other person in this relationship. And in the chorus, a couple of lyrics that are said are, you say I'm crazy because you don't think I know what you've done. And again, those lyrics are self-explanatory. But going into the music video for this song, it totally paints a visual picture of the song. And before the music even starts, we see a husband and wife in their house. And the wife tells her husband that she made him breakfast, but he seems like he's in a hurry to get to work, but everything seems fine between them, just a usual day. And then she waves as he leaves and drives away. And then, oh, by the way, so the music video stars Diana Agron, who is an actress, and you might know her from the hit show Glee, which is one of my favorite shows, and she plays the wife. And Chris Messina, I guess he is from the Mindy Project. I haven't seen that show, but he plays the husband in the music video. So as soon as he drives away, she gets pissed. She turns to go back into the house, and the music starts, and she is just not happy at all. So throughout the music video, it goes back and forth between this couple. And so first we see her in her bedroom crying, and black mascara is running down her face, and she is just bawling her eyes out on the floor. And then it flashes back to him, and he meets this girl. I don't know if they're meeting for the first time, but he's taking shots with this girl, and they're at a bar or a restaurant or something like that. And then he starts hooking up with her, and then it gets a little far. But then the wife, it flashes back to her, and she drives to a liquor store and buys herself a bottle of white wine. And before she even gets out of the store, she opens it and starts chugging the bottle. And then we see her buying lighter fluid. And when she gets home, she lights all of his clothes on fire on the front lawn. And she's just watching it all burn. But then her husband gets home and she opens the door for him and he walks up. Well, she opens the door for him before he even walks up the steps. And they give each other a big hug. And she smiles, but it's not a true smile. It's kind of like one of those fake smiles, if you know what I mean. But she kind of made it seem like there was nothing wrong on the outside, but obviously there was something wrong on the inside. And so when that all happened, it made it seem like nothing even happened that whole day. But nevertheless, I really liked how this music video actually told a story. And yes, Sam Smith was actually in it, but only during certain times, like during the chorus. He was singing with one of those old school microphones, and there was a red curtain backdrop behind him. But I really enjoyed how this music video wasn't just of him walking down the street and singing to the words of the song. It really actually told you the story and, like I said, painted a picture of what this song was about and I guess what it meant to him. I don't know. He's only 22 years old and he's singing about these crazy marriages and stuff. I don't know. It was really interesting to me. But I actually found a version of the song by the rapper A$AP Rocky. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of him, but he did a remix to the song that's really good. And I just wanted to play for you just the beginning of the song. So here that is.
Yeah. A new disease in my town called idiotic. Every pretty lady in my city got it. Point blank, periodic. Lead empty seats, dining Cipriani's like Beyonce. They getting by or they getting body. So Sasha affairs, a whole lot of tears. Rolling down her cheeks, crying till she sound asleep. Sleep, preach, preach, pray. That today is not a lonely one. You gotta know you're not the only one.
You and me, we made a vow.
So I thought that was a really good remix to the song because it has the melody of the song. And then A$AP Rocky fills in with his own verse and then Sam Smith comes back with the chorus. But obviously the song is longer than that. But I just wanted you to hear a little snippet. So you can check that out if you would like to. It's just called I'm the Only One featuring A$AP Rocky. And if you are interested, Sam Smith is actually going on tour this coming year. He is going to be in San Francisco on January 31st at the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium. And I don't think tickets have gone on sale yet, but I think they go on sale in 1 or 2 days. So you should check that out if you like him. I'm considering going because I really like Sam Smith and I think he would put on a phenomenal show. But that was my segment, Tunes Talk, and when we come back, I will go into my last segment, The Dirty Deets. But we will be back after this message by Harley D on radio.dominican.edu.
Hey guys, Harley D here with your 3-minute break. 3 minutes of the wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started. A 42-year-old woman, Stacy Spence, was hauled to jail for assault in Sandpoint, Idaho this summer. But when the squad car arrived at the station, officers learned that during the ride, she had completely gnawed through the back seat, the foam, the padding, and the seat cover. And you thought your dog's jaw was strong. A Louisiana teen is behind bars after police say he donned a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle mask and used a stick wrapped in plastic to rob a convenience store Thursday morning. Lafayette police say 18-year-old LaCorion Detron Turner is charged with first-degree robbery. Police say he was able to force his way behind the counter with the stick and then tried and failed to open the register. Police say Turner fled on foot after taking 2 wallets from underneath the counter. Officers arrested Turner a short time later but it is still unclear if he has an attorney. An Irish pub on the Las Vegas Strip has broken a Guinness World Record after hosting more than 2 weeks of nearly non-stop live music. The concert began October 1st in the Re-Raw Pub in the Shops at Mandalay Bay, and it surpassed the previous record at 1 p.m. on Thursday, October 16th. The artists were playing non-stop music with no more than a 25-second break in between songs and a 5-minute break in between sets. This broke the previous world record for longest concerts by multiple artists by one day. A Connecticut man is facing charges after police say he grabbed a mop out of a hotel employee's hands and was mopping aggressively over the worker's shoes. Grr. Police say 30-year-old John Thornton was arrested Monday night and charged with breach of peace and threatening. Officers responding to the Bristol Hotel were told a man had become unruly, grabbed the mop, and swept it back and forth over the woman's shoes. When the employee asked the man to stop, police say he turned his back and pushed her into the corner. Police say the woman was shaking and crying. Authorities say Thornton insulted and swore at officers during the arrest and threatened them with bodily harm. He was released on $20,000 bond. If you've got $1 million to spare, I got the place to put it. 10 parking places, one flight below the street at an apartment building on 42 Crosby Street in New York City, have been offered for sale by the developer for $1 million each, nearly 5 times the median U.S. price for an entire home. The parking space ranges in size from 150 to 200 square feet each.
I'm Harley D. signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
You are still listening to radio.dominican.edu. You are listening to Hollywood Soup on Penguin Radio, and this is Dizzy D, and for my last segment of the day is The Dirty Deets. The Dirty Deets is your source of entertainment gossip from all over Hollywood, so let's get started. Well, first off, the hit TV show Friends is coming to Netflix next year, and on January 1st, 2015, New Year's Day, all 10 seasons of Friends will be available to all Netflix users, which totals to over 230 episodes. I am so excited for this because Friends is one of those shows that everyone, it's always on TV and everybody's seen it, but I know I can speak for myself that when it's on TV, I'll watch it, but I've never seen every episode in order. I always see one, I don't know even what seasons they're from, but I always see them scattered, and I'm really excited to watch it all the way through every episode in order so we know what's happening. You know what I mean? So I'm super excited for that, and definitely when it comes out, I will be quick to jump on the Friends bandwagon on Netflix. So, I mean, if you don't have Netflix, where are you? Netflix equals life. So, anyways, in other news, Snoop Dogg compared Iggy Azalea's appearance to Marlo Wayans, who is his character on White Chicks, and he Instagrammed a photo saying White Chicks 2 starring Iggy and compared her to the White Chicks characters. And he posted another picture of Nicki Minaj sitting by herself, and it says on the picture, sitting with other relevant female rappers. And his caption on Instagram said, "Where is Iggy? Nowhere in sight. F the fake in non-writers. Yeah, that means you again." And he says the B word. "Go Nicki, go. H word, Iggy, H word. Sweet dreams." And then he says another curse word that I can't say. Or I don't even want to say. But he's being really mean. I don't know why he's being such a bully. I have no idea what he has towards Iggy Azalea. I like Iggy. I think she's cool. And I don't know why. I mean, I liked Iggy Azalea way more than I liked Nicki Minaj. So I have no idea why he has so much hate towards her. I don't know. Weird to me. But going into some other news. This week, singer and songwriter Kesha is suing record producer Dr. Luke for sexual assault, sexual harassment, gender violence, civil harassment, and intentional infliction of emotional distress, and as well as other causes of action. But Kesha claims in the lawsuit that he persuaded her to drop out of school and move to LA from Nashville to start her music career. And it's pretty interesting because I actually, in one of my earlier shows, I talked about Kesha and how she is super smart. She scored nearly perfect SATs and she scored 140 on her IQ test, and that's nearly perfect as well. But I actually talked about how she dropped out of school because her music producers convinced her to, and then she started her music career. But she dropped out of school at 18, and I guess this, according to her, this is the reason why she dropped out. And the lawsuit states, Dr. Luke abused her in order to destroy her self-confidence, self-image, and self-worth so that he can maintain complete control over her life and career. So I think it's pretty interesting because I'm pretty sure Kesha is 27 years old, and it was stated that she dropped out of school at 18. So I don't know why she's waited this long to sue him, to sue Dr. Luke. I'm not really sure why this, what made her ticked off now. Maybe it was just planning in the process. But if he's been destroying her self-confidence, self-image, and self-worth all these years, I don't know why she would just wait and to do it now. I'm not very sure, but I thought that was kind of interesting. So, and I thought it was interesting how I brought it up in my earlier shows, and now I'm bringing it up again. So, interesting stuff. So, moving on, I'm sure many of you iPhone owners and users have noticed that with the new iOS update, you got a free YouTube album automatically downloaded onto your music library. Well, Bono from YouTube apologized on behalf of the whole group, U2, for the album release, since many people thought it was rude to do that. I don't know why they would think it was rude. I wouldn't use rude as my choice of words, but I mean, it was kind of weird that it popped up on my music library, but I didn't think it was rude. But Bono stated, "Oops, I'm sorry about that. We had this beautiful idea. We got carried away with ourselves. Artists are prone to that kind of thing." And I think that's kind of interesting that they did that. I think it's more of a marketing strategy, but I don't think it was rude whatsoever. I mean, it's free music. Why would you think free music is rude? We should take that and embrace it, because you don't get free stuff that often these days. So I don't know. I'm not really sure why a person in particular said it was rude. So I don't know. I don't really care that it was on my library. I actually don't really use my iTunes anymore. I use Spotify. Spotify is awesome. Awesome, awesome. So I don't know. You decide for yourself. But anyways, I'm so excited for this next topic. Over the weekend, One Tree Hill had a reunion in Paris, and I have mentioned probably every single week, One Tree Hill is one of my all-time favorite shows in the whole entire world. And when I heard about this, I almost started crying because I love this show so much. And they all posted pictures on Twitter and Instagram, and I just about died when I saw them. But some of the cast members that were there were James Lafferty, who played Nathan Scott, Bethany Joy Lenz, who played Haley James Scott, Sophia Bush, who played Brooke Davis, my favorite character, Hilary Burton, who played Peyton Sawyer, and Paul Johansson, who played Dan Scott. And Unfortunately, Chad Michael Murray was not able to attend the reunion due to him shooting Agent Carter, and he posted, "Sorry, I can't make it to Paris, Milan, and London, guys. Heavy into shooting Agent Carter. I'll try to make it out sometime soon. Have a great time." He said sometime soon. So does that mean there's going to be another reunion? Because if there's a reunion somewhere in California, I am for sure going to go. Because, okay, One Tree Hill was nine seasons of greatness. I'm watching Parenthood on Netflix right now, and it's super good. And I just started season four. And I think I'm done with that, I am going to rewatch One Tree Hill for like the fifth time, because it's such a good show. And I can't believe how late I was into watching it, because I think it ended in 2012, but I didn't start watching it until last year. And I am seriously obsessed with it. It is perfect in every single way. It makes me think about life and just about my relationships with my friends and my family and my romantic interests. And it's just so amazing. I just love that show, and I could talk about it forever. I could probably dedicate a whole radio show to One Tree Hill and just talk about the music, the show, the people in it, the characters, the everything. So maybe that would happen soon, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe after I rewatch all 9 seasons. But anyways, moving on. They actually confirmed last week the cause of Joan Rivers' death, and the New York City Office of Chief Medical Examiner released the statement, "OCME has completed its investigation. The cause of Miss Rivers' death is anoxic encephalopathy due to hypoxic arrest during laryngoscopy and under endoscopy with full sedation for evaluation of voice changes and gastroesophageal reflux disease." And I have no idea what in the world that means. Can't pronounce probably most of the words in that sentence. And I probably didn't say anything right in that sentence whatsoever. I have no idea what that meant. But they put it into more simpler terms for people like me who don't understand medical terms. And it is the classification of death as a therapeutic complication, meaning that the death resulted from a predictable complication of medical therapy. That's all I need to know. That was very simple for me to understand. So that is solved. It's been a month process, but now the answers are finally released, and now we know what happened to Miss Joan Rivers. May she rest in peace. So, moving on to my next topic. I love Lorde, but thank you, the San Francisco community, because during the World Series, San Francisco radio stations are banning Lorde's hit song Royals after listeners called in to KFOG claiming the song is an endorsement for the Kansas City Royals since they are playing the Giants in the World Series. So pumped. Anyways, apparently a radio station in Kansas City is playing Royals by Lorde every single hour on the hour from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I love Lorde, but the Giants need to win. And by the way, so obviously I just said the Giants are going to the World Series, but on Thursday, me and my sister went to the game that they clinched to go to the World Series at, and it was so much fun. My dad gave us tickets. Thank you, Father. But it was honestly the most fun. I mean, I went to the first game of the World Series in 2012, and I've had some good Giants memories. So we went to the game, and we watched the game, obviously. But it was such a back and forth game. At probably like the top of the eighth inning, I was like, I don't know if they're going to do it today. I don't know if maybe they'll do it tomorrow. I don't know. I was kind of questioning them. I didn't know if they were going to do it. But then Michael Morse hit a home run, killed it. It was so sick. And then bottom of the ninth, I was like, oh, they're just going to go into extra innings. It's chill. Like, we'll be here longer. We get to watch a longer game. But no, Ishikawa hits it. Barely. It just skyrockets into right field. And we're going to the ship. We did it. We're going. So, I mean, it's an even year, 2010, 2012, 2014. We might as well. We have to do it. We got to do it. I'm ready for another parade in San Francisco on Market Street. So let's do it. And so that's that. But anyways, last but not least, on Wednesday, my grandma turned 93 years old, and I just wanted to wish her another happy, happy birthday. All of my cousins and my sister and my aunt got together, and we celebrated on Saturday, and my grandpa was there too. We celebrated on Saturday, and it was so much fun being there with my family, all of us together, because we don't get together all of us in the same place that often for like Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter and stuff. But it was nice to all be together and celebrating my grandma and her birthday. She's 93 years old. You are so cool, Noni. I love you so much. I wanted to say happy birthday again. I love you so much. And yeah, now I love you. And my mom and I, well, actually my mom made dinner on Wednesday. It was delicious. She doesn't think it was that good, but it was great. It was a great dinner. My grandparents are the cutest people in the world. So I love you guys so much. Saying it to the world. But anyways, that was the end of the Dirty Deets. And I hope you all enjoyed this week's show. Tune in next Monday at 3 to hear who will be going deep in the boiling water on Hollywood Soup with me, Dizzy D, on Penguin Radio. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at DizzyD_DU. I've been lagging on Twitter, guys. I'm so sorry. But I will try harder to do updates throughout the week and keep you posted. But I hope you all have a great rest of your week. It's Monday, guys, and I'm so sorry. I hope you have a happy Monday. I did not want to get up for school today. I woke up at probably 11:30 and just didn't want to do anything, but I got up, I showered, got here. Actually, I went to my grandma's house to say hi, my grandparents' house to say hi. And then I came to the radio studio. Shout out to my dad for chilling with me in the studio today. And yeah, now I'm about to go to my next class and take a quiz. So that will be splendid. So hopefully this week goes by fast because it's only Monday. But anyways, thanks for listening, guys. I will talk to you next week here on Penguin Radio.